Thank you for joining this series on knowing God. We're studying the character and the nature and the attributes of God, and we often think that the study of God is academic. In other words, the study of God is really not for regular Christians. It's for theologians, it's for universities, academia, and that's simply not true. Jesus said that eternal life is based on knowing God. In fact, God wants us to know him. And he said so as far back as the book of Jeremiah. But let him who boasts in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. No other study humbles the mind more. No other study expands the mind more or comforts the mind more than the study of God. But we do realize that words fall short of conveying vast, incredible truth. And that's because our human understanding needs to expand to comprehend the spiritual truth about God. And there's one word that best describes the majesty of God in all of his divine attributes, and that's the word glory. The Bible tells us that God is the King of glory, the God of glory, and the Lord of glory. Great is the glory of the Lord, the psalmist writes. His name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. Psalm 148:13. But what is the glory of God, and how is it revealed? How is it visible today? Let's look at each of those three questions. What is the glory of God? How is his glory revealed, and how is it visible to us today? Let's begin with the first question. What is the glory of God? The glory of God is the splendor and majesty of God shining. Easton's Bible Dictionary says the word glory means splendor, brightness, majesty, honor, dignity. Webster's: magnificence, brilliance, splendor, beauty, and grandeur. The Hebrew word kabod, it means great, important, impression, impressive. It's translated glory. And it's the Greek word doxa, where we get the word doxology. It means splendor, honor, glory. Another way of defining glory is that glory is displayed excellence. Think about how the cosmos displays the glory of God. We read that in Psalms 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims his handiwork. No one but God could have created the vast power displayed by the cosmos, because he is the master craftsman. He is the divine architect and author of the cosmos. He created every star and knows them all by name. And if we were to just take the nearest star, our sun, consider the fact that to produce the observed energy being emitted from our sun, the solar surface, the equivalent of 100 billion hydrogen bombs must be exploding every second in its unfathomably hot, dense core, Thomas Dubé writes. Think about that. For the amount of light to emit, the amount of energy and light being emitted from the sun, it requires the equivalent of 100 billion hydrogen bombs exploding every second. Now multiply that by 100 billion suns, all burning at the same time. The heavens declare the glory of God. The cosmos displays the glory of God, but the cosmos is not the actual glory of God. It declares his glory. But God's glory is greater than the cosmos. So, by way of illustration, imagine a man gifted in talent and intelligence in all areas of knowledge. Imagine this man is he's a gifted mathematician, a gifted physicist, biologist, psychologist, musician, author, artist. He's just gifted in every area of knowledge. What would we call that? We would call that genius. That man would be a genius. But what would you call the one who is eternal, who created all areas of knowledge, who then gave life to that knowledge by creating the mind of the genius, and then animated that mind with life and love and a living spirit? What would you call that? That's not just genius, that's beyond genius. That's glorious. The glory of God is the sum totality of all his majestic excellence. Now, we ask the question, what is the glory of God? The Shekinah is another word in the Old Testament. It's a Hebrew word that refers to the visible manifestation of God's glory. It's from the Hebrew word Shekinah. The root of that word means to dwell or to abide, and it's translated as the presence of God. But the Shekinah became known as the visible manifestation of the splendor and majesty of God shining. So, for example, when God spoke to Moses before a burning bush, he said, "Take off your sandals. This is holy ground." Well, why was the ground holy? It wasn't because of the ground. It was because of the very presence of God. But the burning bush was a visible manifestation of God's glory that he allowed Moses to see. And this is what's fascinating. God's glory cannot fully be seen by man. We know that from 1 Timothy 6:15. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. So, God's glory cannot fully be seen by man. God is spirit, and so the splendor and majesty of his attributes are his glory, whether we see them or not. But God has allowed a visible manifestation of his divine glory to be seen at different times throughout human history. And so we ask the second question, how is the glory of God revealed to his people? We know God allowed his glory to be seen by Moses. You remember Moses was called by God from the burning bush, and he obeyed the Lord and led the people out of Egypt to Mount Sinai. But Moses had three requests of God. And the first one was Moses asked God to show him his way. Moses wanted to know the way of the Lord. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way. He didn't want to go anywhere unless God was with him. And God said he would allow his presence to lead them. And Moses didn't want to go unless God was going to be with them. He wanted God to lead them, and he didn't want to go without God. His second request was, I want to know you. Now, therefore, I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I might find grace in your sight. We would say, well, Moses already knew the Lord, but he wanted to know God more and more. He wanted to truly know God. And he asked. And then the third request, Moses asked God to show him his glory. And he said, "Please show me your glory." Then he, that is God, said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live." And the Lord said, "Here is a place by me, and you can stand on the rock. So it shall be, when my glory passes by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by." God is spirit, and of course he is using a euphemism for shielding Moses from his full glory, because no one can see God's glory and live. God could not grant this full request for Moses' own good, so he shielded Moses to protect him, and he allowed Moses to see a portion. The word goodness also means splendor. "I will show you my splendor, my goodness, but not my full glory." If God had shown all his awesome glory, no man who saw it would live. Not even Moses. And you remember, after Moses spent 40 days with God, when he came down from Sinai, his face actually glowed from being in the presence of God. So God revealed a portion of his glory to Moses. He also revealed it to his people in leading his people with a pillar of fire and smoke. God allowed a visible manifestation of his Shekinah glory to lead the people through the wilderness. Exodus 13:21, "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night." So God allowed a visible manifestation of his glory to lead the people. And in chapter 16 and verse 10, "Now it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud." So God allowed a visible manifestation of his glory to appear to lead his people through the wilderness in a pillar of fire and smoke. And then, of course, also he allowed a visible manifestation of his glory to appear in the tabernacle, that is the meeting place of God, and later the temple. In Exodus 40, in verse 34, "Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting, because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." And the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle throughout the 40 years in the wilderness. Now later, David asked if a temple could be built as a house of God, and God allowed Solomon to build that. And it was dedicated by Solomon, and when that happened, notice in 2 Chronicles 5:14, "The house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God." So God allowed his presence, a visible manifestation of his glory, in the tabernacle, in the temple. And then you remember, God allowed the glory of his presence to rest on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies, that place where only the high priest could go, and only once a year, and only if he brought the blood of a lamb to offer for the sins for himself first, so he wouldn't die, in order to be cleansed to bring offering for the sins of the people. And that's in Leviticus 16, beginning in verse 2. "Now the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered profane fire before the Lord and died. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron your brother not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil, before the mercy seat which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. This was where only the high priest could enter, and only once a year, for the sins of the people. God allowed his presence, his glory, to appear in the cloud above the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. Now, what about today? We know that God allowed his glory to be seen, a portion of his glory, a visible manifestation in different times through history to his people. But how is the glory of God revealed today? The majestic splendor of God is still shining, but not from Mount Sinai, and not from a pillar of fire or smoke, and not from a physical tabernacle or temple. Let's notice that God's glory shines through Jesus Christ. Do you remember in John 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, God's glory shines through Jesus Christ, and we know this from Hebrews 1 as well, who being the brightness of his glory, Jesus, being the brightness of his glory, the glory of God, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. It's fascinating that the glory of God is seen shining through Jesus Christ, although Jesus humbled himself in a way that shielded his full glory. Remember, the Word became flesh. Jesus humbled himself to the point of becoming a human, fully God and fully man. But in doing so, he shielded, in a sense, his glory. Notice his prayer before the crucifixion in John 17. Jesus is praying to the Father, and listen to his prayer. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Do you remember when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration, he glowed with luminescent light. His face and his garments were glowing with glory. And Moses and Elijah appeared and were talking with him. Do you remember? Here's Moses, who'd been on Mount Sinai in the presence of God, and now he's in heaven. And now Jesus Christ is speaking with Moses on this mountain, and they're talking about his death, which was going to take place in Jerusalem. Do you see how our God is a personal God? And a bright cloud, a Shekinah glory, a visible manifestation of God's glory descended around them, a bright cloud. And God said, this is my Son, hear ye him. No longer Moses, no longer Elijah. Listen to Christ. And notice what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4:6. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So how is the glory of God revealed today? Number one, through Jesus Christ, and also through God's inspired word, the Bible. Remember, the Old Testament was a partial revelation from God. Do you remember Moses was shielded by God? He was given only a partial view. Well, he was also only given a partial revelation of God's glory. And Paul writes, but if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So Moses on Sinai was given a partial revelation of God's glory, a partial revelation of God's word. But in the New Testament, we have the complete revelation of God. Notice what Paul writes. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So God's glory shines through the complete revelation, the inspired word of God. And it also, of course, shines through, think of this saying, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So God allows his glory to shine through his word, the complete revelation of his word. And also, how is the glory of God revealed today? It shines through the transformed lives of his people. You see, God's people are transformed by the glory of God. Paul's was. Paul was blinded by the glory of God. He witnessed enough of God's glory to blind him, but not to kill him. And he was changed by it. He was transformed. And we are to be transformed by God's glory as well. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So, Moses was changed by the glory of God. Paul was changed by the glory of God. And we are to be changed by the glory of God. Do you remember when Stephen was martyred for Jesus? He was being killed, and as they were stoning him, his face shone like an angel, and he looked up and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. How do you explain that except to say that he was being transformed by the glory of God? And he looked up, and he didn't see Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. He saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Jesus standing for his first martyr, which was Stephen. And now we give God the glory. Notice Jesus says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." You see, we share the love that God first shared with us. We comfort others with the comfort God gives us, and we honor God with a transformed heart, full of the fruit of his Spirit. "By this my Father is glorified," Jesus said, "that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So we give God glory, and God's glory shines through the transformed lives of his people. And that's why his glory also shines through his church. Remember, God's glory is with his kingdom, his people. And that was the case in the Old Testament, and it's the case in the New. In the Old Testament, Zechariah 2:5, "For I, says the Lord, will be a wall of fire all around her, and I will be the glory in her midst." That's the glory of God. And in the New Testament, it's the same. "To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So God's glory is shining through his people, his kingdom, his church. And the kingdom of God is all of the redeemed of all time. But his church is his kingdom of people still alive on earth. And God's glory is now revealed through his people. You know, the church is Christ's redeemed people, bought back and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. The church is the pillar and the ground of truth, not the government, not universities, not scientific laboratories. The church is the pillar and ground of truth. And that's why his glory shines through it. And this is why Jesus died on the cross. Remember Hebrews 2:10, "For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." Jesus suffered to bring us to glory. And this is why every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Not because they'll be forced to. No. But because the glory of God will be so overwhelming. Philippians 2:8, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." This is why we give God the glory. Because what he did for us, and we do this, we give God glory by worshiping him in spirit and in truth. John saw a glimpse of worship around the throne. The 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne, and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Do you give God the glory in your life? Do you give God the glory for your salvation, for your hope, for your life? He deserves all the glory. Because his salvation was given to us. We didn't deserve it. But he offered it to us by sending Jesus to the cross to die for our sins. It's up to us to allow the glory of God to transform our life, so that we can be a light, so that others may see our good works and give God glory. And that's because we're giving God glory by our transformed lives. May God bless you in doing his will.